Whoever gives one of these little ones a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, he shall by no means lose his reward. Welcome back to the Hackberry House, a daily podcast devoted to the Word of God and the persecuted church. My name is Bob. This is podcast number 52. It's January 31, 2015. Today we continue our journey into Myanmar, describing the state itself, and especially going on to the history of God's people there. We were talking about China and the situation with China and Burma and how it enters this picture of the Kachin people. China seems to have no problem with the country being deforested. I'm talking about that northeastern state. They've come in and taken the trees away. They don't seem to care about the purposes of the people there, but their own purposes are being met. Poverty has overcome the state. Many women and children are being forced into the sex trade of Thailand and other places. Migration of the ethnic Kachins to Thailand and Malaysia is yet another step in the undoing of this once populous territory, but not the final step. Now, these nations often send the Kachins on to a third home in the West in a process that could take 5 to 7 years. It's not a happy thing to be a Kachin in these days, a people of nomadic significance now. They're moving here and there because everything's being taken away from them. They need your prayer. Let's talk about the state itself for just a little bit, and then I want to get quickly to the salvation story of Kachin. But the Kachin economy is largely agricultural, things like rice and sugarcane and so on. But there's also mineral production. Gold and jade are there big time. Unfortunately, the Myanmar government cares little about the deteriorating environment in Kachin State as it plunders that area to mine the resources. Erosion and flooding and mudslides are common. Houses are destroyed every year. And then there's China again. One project with that nation, it was a 1,055-megawatt hydroelectric power plant, displaced 15,000 Kachin people. Just one more thing against them. There's a systematic running over of these residents as though their worth is next to nothing. There's been little or no development by the government in Kachin in terms of infrastructure, health care, other basic necessities. The government's very busy, you know, like North Korea is very busy and very rich and doing a lot of things for the military, but not for the people. It's somewhat of the same here. It's busy grabbing minerals from the land. What do they give back when they've taken those minerals? Burmese education, they say, is centered on the memorization of facts. It's located mainly in a handful of major cities. In Kachin State, it has nearly 2 million people. There are only 41 high schools. By comparison, in the Chicago public school system alone, there's 96 high schools. And that's just in one of the many systems in the Chicagoland region. Burma's health system nationwide is poor, but outside the main towns, as in Kachin State, it is extremely poor. 1,500 beds in 43 hospitals serve that population I was talking about. This was a statistic from 2002. Not sure how much it's changed, which way it's gone. The government spends maybe 2 to 3% of the gross product on health care. This statistic is among the lowest in the world. Again, by comparison, 215 hospitals serve Chicago. Many traditions have developed among the Kachin people. Political authority, for example, was based on the chieftains supported by their immediate families. That's how they do things, okay? Originally, they were hunters, but they've become, as we said, strongly agricultural. A house in Kachin has two stories. It's built out of wood and bamboo. First floor storage, second floor for living. The clothing for the women is wool skirts and bright colors. Men often wear turbans. And that's probably all you need to hear about all that, because I know that's not exactly why you tuned in today. Let's talk about the religion of Kachin. It used to be animism, where you worship spirits, which we know happened have to do with demons and so on. That was the culture. That's how it was. But that particular tradition has changed radically. And to tell you about that, we've got to go back, way back. Remember the name Adoniram Judson? Adoniram Judson. Not exactly the first missionary to Burma, but only by several years. But he was certainly the first significant one. The other guys came and went, a couple of them did. And then Judson came in the first part of the 19th century, in the 1800s, but he came and stayed. People were converted, and the Bible was translated. But though Judson and later a guy named Eugenio Kincaid met and talked with the Kachins of Burma during this time, no serious work was started there for maybe another 40 years. Several missionaries went to the far north. One of them, Josiah Cushing, brought with him two tribesmen from the south of Burma, from the Karen people, who stayed the better part of a year evangelizing Kachins. And then they were replaced by others from the same tribe. So the Karen have been very instrumental in bringing Christ to the Kachins, the Karens who live right there, not just outside missionaries. Without the Karens, we don't know what would have happened. Eventually, there was one Albert Lyon of America with his wife who was finally assigned to the territory. And he began an established work, but only began. Within a week, he'd caught a fever. Within a month, he had died. It looks like the enemy really wanted to hold on to that territory. Still, the Karen evangelist came during that time, and then Cushing, who left, was replaced by James Friday, and he supervised them. It was left to a resident of Illinois, William Roberts, along with those Karen workers, and their names are Ma Ke and Shwe Gya, and I do apologize for those pronunciations for sure. Roberts answered the call and built extensively on the small work that had already begun. But more tragedy strikes, and his wife dies within 18 months. Though William had to return for a while to the States, he did come back, and he pioneered the Kachin work for 40 years. Now, it was rough going for the gospel in those early years. Friday and the Karens continued to assist in the face of attacks, robberies, fire, sickness. And in the beginnings, not one single inquirer, much less some active convert. Roberts was joined in 1881 with another appointed couple, the Cronkites, and a new wife for Roberts, a teacher in the Kemendine School. Finally, 1882, seven converts, finally seven of them, received water baptism and the church was formed among the animist Kachin people. Now remember, everybody else except seven are animist at that time. Add, though, to the seven, the four missionaries, that's 11, and four Karen evangelists. Now we've got 15, a church of 15 people emerging in the hills of northern Burma. It has begun. A foothold has been made. Then it began to happen more rapidly. More baptisms, establishment of schools, translation of scriptures, preparation of a hymnal, training of leaders, opening of new mission stations. We backtrack a little bit to a man named Ola Hansen, credited with being the scholar who brought the Word of God to the people in their own language. He was not encouraged much by the people, or even the king of Burma at that time, who even then despised the Kachin people, comparing them to dogs. Nevertheless, Mr. Hansen persisted. His thing was that he wanted to put a translation of the scriptures in the Kachin language. That's all he wanted to do. He was motivated in part by some mythology that was very pervasive in those hills. The people had passed down a lot of different myths for generations. Some of the myths seem to have been generated, as most myths are, by truths long ago experienced. There was the creation myth. There was a resurrection myth. There was even a flood myth. And then there was the missing book myth. The Kachins believed and taught that God, whoever God was, gave every race a book. That was in their thinking. It was truth, right? But the Kachins, who got hungry one night, ate their book. Well, now that's probably not exactly truth there. You see how myths, and we have a lot of myths in the church today. We won't go there right now. But a lot of things that are perfectly true mixed with things that are perfectly false. I wish I could preach a while now, but I'm going to go back to the Kachins. But anyway, the revelation to the Kachins is gone. Somebody ate it. The Karen tribe, though, in the Lord, had a prophecy saying that one day a foreigner is going to come, and he's going to bring another copy of the book back to them. Well, it was an arduous and very complex task. I hate to skip over all of it just with those words, but we have to. But Mr. Hansen eventually fulfilled that prophecy. And in 1911, the New Testament was completed. And in 1926, the Old. Notice the years involved here. Notice the years. In his words, quote, "It is with heartfelt gratitude that I lay this work at the feet of my master. I am conscious of the defects of my work. I've tried to master Kachin and make a translation intelligible to all. Pray with us that our divine master may bless this work to the salvation of the whole Kachin race. Well, we are still at work here." End of quote. Wow. That's how the Bible came to the Kachin people. Well, more missionaries, more stations, more outreaches to Kachins and others, wherever the doors opened. The church grows, and by 1909, 150 Christians, eight of whom became pastors. Fast forward to World War II. All missionaries gotta go. The Japanese are on the way. And they come and invade the place, but church members scattered. Some of them actually apostatize. They go back to animism. Safer, you know. Some are persecuted. But new converts come too, and the church is able to be the church throughout the occupation of the Japanese. 1948, British rule of Burma ends. That rule had included two separate administrations for this multicultural land. One was considered Burma proper. It included the Burman people only, Burma being a tribe also, but the people who were the most scattered throughout that whole land were the Burmans, okay? And so you have Burma proper. That was an administration. Then the other administration was called the excluded areas, which is everybody else, the numerous ethnic minorities that needed separate consideration. That would be the Kachins, for example. So when the British left, these two administrations become one. And for a short time, the non-Burmans were going to be allowed to secede from Burma. You can go do your own thing, have your own little place. Were granted full autonomy if they stayed. The leaders of this interim regime were assassinated soon. And the next leader, nationalist U Nu, in 1948, officially ignored that pluralistic agreement and informed all the minorities they were going to be a part of Burma, period. That's pretty much how it's been since then. I want to almost say, oh, no, rather than, ooh, no, but that's what happened in that time. In 1961, to make things worse for the Kachins in particular, Buddhism was officially made the state religion. So here then was created the dilemma. Kachins, by and large, by now, were not Buddhist, nor did they desire to become Buddhist. Fear of losing their freedom has caused them, through the years, to take a separate path from the rest of the nation. Most of the other ethnics have made some sort of compromise with the government, and they live in relative peace. I say relative, but at least a certain amount of peace. But the Kachins, no. no, we're not going to be at peace with you. We don't want to be a part of a Buddhist nation. They've watched what compromise does to culture in group after group across the country. And the thought of that happening to them, it's a horrific one. Forget it. They refuse to give away their culture and their faith to a government that doesn't honor either of them. Hey, sounds like the beginning of the American nation, doesn't it? A little bit. An oppressed people escaping from oppression elsewhere and refusing to compromise its principles, willing to put together a group of fighters that'll challenge the standing army of a mighty nation. Hey, welcome to America. More than that, a people trusting that God indeed was in their fight and would win the ultimate victory. We believed that too, didn't we? Americans, that's how we were born. We believed that God was on our side. Turns out he seemed to have been when we were on his side. That's another message too. Anyway, the world war is over. Japanese are gone. The missionaries come back. And awful scenes of destruction greet them. I know we're a little extended today. I want to finish a section here and then we'll call it a day for today. 60 years worth of church buildings, nearly all up in smoke. But the rebuilding begins and prospers, and the church of Kachin State continues to this day. Denominations of Christianity inside that state include hundreds of Baptist churches, some Churches of Christ, some Anglican churches carry over from the days of England. Roman Catholicism is a relatively strong presence in the land also, second only to the Baptist Christians, who report nearly 500,000 in membership, with perhaps 500 ordained ministers. All in all, the coming of Christ and his church to the Kachin people, and I quote from Bertil Lintner in a magazine called The Revealer, fermented, the coming of Christ fermented a social, cultural, and economic transformation. Christianity gave many poor hill tribes, and the Kachins were one of them, a common creed instead of scattered beliefs in the power of spirits. With education came self-esteem and ethnic pride, an entirely new national consciousness. Well, where are we now? That's what I want to talk about next time, the present state of the people of Kachin and what we ought to be doing about it and to help our brothers and sisters. Amen? Sounds like a plan to me. Well, let's end with what we began with, Matthew 10:42. Whoever gives one of these little ones, anyone, a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, he shall by no means lose his reward. Let's help all the little ones that we can, the big ones too. Let's just be giving to those who need our help. God bless you. Bye-bye.